بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 54th session, reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, the explanation of the 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawwi and Al-Imam ibn Rajab rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon both of them, with the commentary of our Shaykh al-Alama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And tonight, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at hadith number 48, which is from the additional hadith that have been added to the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawwi by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahumullah. But before looking at that hadith, we want to go back and review a little bit from the previous session some of the points that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 53. The first question being, yani, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 47. Summarize the main topic of hadith number 47. Summarize. Naam, follow.
The impermissibility of filling one's stomach and that which it leads to, and the means of avoiding it.
Right, the impermissibility of filling one's stomach and the harms that it leads to and the means of avoiding it. Anybody else? Last week's topic in summary. Okay, we'll suffice with that. Yani, in that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ gave us a stern warning against a person filling their stomach, overeating, and he directed us to the legislated yani adab that a person should observe in reference to the amount of food and drink that they consume. Question number two, who is the rawi, narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi of the hadith in the collection where it's found. Rawi, anybody? Huh?
Al-Maqdam
bin
Ma'di Karib.
Bin Ma'di Karib. Karib, naam. Radiallahu anhu. And the collection of hadith where it's found?
Ahmed.
It's reported by Imam Ahmed. At-Tirmidhi.
An-Nasai.
And Ibn Majah. And At-Tirmidhi said the hadith is Hasan. The third question, memorize the first statement of the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, which is a clear warning against uncontrolled eating. And we already went over that, yani, before we started our live session tonight, or before we started our session tonight, where the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا مَلَأَ آدَمِيٌ وِيَاءً شَرًّا مِّن بَطْنٍ, that no human being has filled any vessel that is more evil to be filled than the stomach. The fourth question, list the two major harms mentioned by the author, yani Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhullah. The two major harms mentioned by the author as resulting from filling the stomach or overeating. Two major harms. Number one, harms from overeating. Naam.
One feels sick.
The sickness that a person experiences from overeating. Naam. As well as, connected to that, the fact that overeating is a cause that leads to other sicknesses and illnesses. The second thing that the Shaykh said is that also, yani, overeating leads to or causes
laziness.
Huh?
Laziness
and sluggishness and inactivity. Yani, it makes a person not want to do anything. Question number five, mention the second statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, which is a clear advice to control one's eating. And that also we covered, yani, before we started the session tonight, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bihasbi ibn Adam akalatun yuqimna sulbahu, yani, that it should be sufficient, yakfi al-insan, it's sufficient for a human being to just eat a few morsels or a few mouthfuls of food, yani, to keep his back straight, yani, to keep him alive. Question number six, what does the author say this second statement of the Prophet ﷺ encourages the believer to do? What does this statement encourage the believer to do? Naam, we didn't cover that. Fadl.
I have to take small amounts.
To take small amounts. Yani, to reduce the amount of intake that a person is consuming. And also, he said, along with that, yani, and not to overeat. Yani, not to be excessive in eating. And in this way, a person would be, yani, feeling lighter and more energetic and will be saved from the harms of the sicknesses that are caused by overeating. Question number 7, mentioned the third statement of the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, for someone who just must eat more. And alhamdulillah, we already covered this as well, where the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِنْ كَانَ لَا مَحَالَ, if it is just a necessity, that person just has to eat more, that one third should be for his food, one third for his drink, and one third for his breathing, so that he will be able to breathe. Question number 8, how has the author explained the benefit of not completely filling the stomach with food and drink? And he leaving one third, yani would enable a person to do what? To breathe easily. And finally, mention 3 of the 4 fawaid benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. 3 of the 4. Or we can mention all 4 of them one by one. Now. Yes. Okay, a warning against filling the stomach. Yani because of the harms that it, and the ills that it causes. Now, another one.
It's sufficient to eat minimum food to do your daily function.
That is sufficient, that a person eat that which will enable them to function. Yani to stay alive. Now, and 3?
Overeating makes you sick.
Overeating makes you sick. Now. The fourth point that the Shaykh, yani, because those were the second and third, the fourth point that the Shaykh made was the end of the hadith. Yani, the last statement of the hadith, that benefit from that is what? That if a person just must eat more than the limit, then they should restrict it to the limit of two-thirds of their stomach. Yani, one-third for food and one-third for drink, so that they will leave space for breathing. The first point that the Shaykh mentioned from this hadith is the clarification of al-adab al-shara'i. Yani the legal Islamic legislated etiquette, manner that is incumbent upon the person when they're eating to observe in terms of the amount of food that they eat. Now, go ahead. Okay, so these are the points that we discussed last week. And tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're looking at hadith number 48, al-hadithu al-thaminu wal-arba'una. And again, as we mentioned in the beginning, that this hadith, number 48, is from the additional hadith that are added by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab after the 42 hadith collected by Al-Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah. This hadith, number 48, an Abdullah Ibn Amr. Yani, and he is Abdullah Ibn Amr Ibn Al-As, radiallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with both of them. An An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, and let me just stop here in the middle of the hadith. And we were having some technical problem getting the live streaming started, but jazakum wa khair, barakallahu fikum. Imam stayed with it until he got it running. So for those who are listening online, yani we apologize for the delay and the review of the questions from last week, but in any case, alhamdulillah, at this moment we're starting with the hadith for tonight. Al-hadith al-thaminu wal-arba'un, the 48th hadith, an Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal. And is it Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, may Allah be pleased with both of them, with him and his father, narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, arba'un man kunna fihi kana munafiqan. Yani this first statement of the hadith is the core of the meaning of the hadith. Yani it's the statement that a person needs to pay attention to and think about very, very carefully. The Prophet ﷺ said in just a few words, arba'un, yani that there are 4 things. Man kunna fi, whoever has these things, these characteristics, these qualities, whoever possesses these qualities, kana munafiqan, then that person is a hypocrite. Yani there are 4 characteristics, 4 qualities, 4 descriptions that any person who possesses them, he is a munafiq. He is a munafiq. And here, I just want to stop, and we're going to discuss this in detail in the explanation from the Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, and in the other comments from Shaykh Abdul Rahman Ibn Salih Al-Dahish, that al-nifaq, just like al-kufr, and just like a shirk, yani is divided into the greater nifaq, al-akbar, and the lesser, al-asgar. Just like there's kufr, يعني أكبر and كفر أصغر. يعني there's the greater كفر and the lesser كفر. The greater كفر takes a person out of Islam. They are not a Muslim. And the lesser كفر doesn't take a person out of Islam, but it's كفر. يعني it's actions of كفر that a Muslim, يعني is not befitting of a Muslim to engage in. So likewise in nifaq, there's the greater nifaq, that is, which is kufr, that takes a person out of Islam. And there's the lesser nifaq, as one of the scholars said, يعني nifaq duna nifaq, like kufr duna kufr. And this doesn't take a person out of Islam, but it's those actions, which are the actions of the munafiq. And a Muslim, يعني could not possibly be content, be pleased, be satisfied with being described with those descriptions. So here we just want to note that the Prophet ﷺ saying munafiq, and he doesn't mean that the person who possesses these qualities is automatically a disbeliever. But he's saying that the person who has these characteristics has the characteristics or the qualities of a munafiq. Of a munafiq. So it's possible that a Muslim can have these characteristics, just like a Muslim can have some characteristics of a kafir and not be a kafir, but have the characteristics of kufr, and that is not something that a Muslim could be comfortable with. So here we just want to note that there is, and we'll discuss it in detail as we go through this explanation of this hadith, that there's nifaq, al-nifaq al-amali, yani hypocrisy in actions, and there's nifaq al-i'tiqadi, yani nifaq in i'tiqad, in aqidah, in a person's belief. Then in their heart there's kufr. In their heart is kufr. Yani they are displaying iman, but in their heart there's kufr. That nifaq, the person who has kufr in their heart, is out of Islam. This person is a kafir. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the person who has iman in their heart, but they are displaying some of the actions, some of the qualities and characteristics of the munafiq. And the Prophet mentions in this hadith four of those qualities that a Muslim, yani, should make every effort to examine themselves and to inspect their own lives, and to be sure that, yani, we avoid these characteristics, every single one of them, to a greater degree and to a lesser degree. Again, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَرْبَعٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ كَانَ مُنَافِقًا. There are four characteristics or qualities. Whoever possess them, whoever has these characteristics or qualities, then he is a munafiq. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ قَصْلَةٌ مِنْهُنَّ فِيهِ كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَصْلَةٌ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ حَتَّى يَضَعَهَا. And if there was one of these, one khasla, one quality, one characteristic from these characteristics in a person, then he has a characteristic of hypocrisy. Then, even if he has one of them, he has a characteristic, a quality of hypocrisy, حتى يضعها, until he gives it up, until he abandons it, until he leaves it, until he escapes from being described with that quality. And he doesn't act like that anymore. Here in the text of the hadith that's from yani the Mutun Talib al-Ilm, it has the word men. It's not in our book, but in some of the books of the 50 hadith of Imam Nawawi and Ibn Rajab, some of them have it as he has here, men. Yani there are four characteristics or qualities. Whoever possesses them is a munafiq. And if any person has even one of them, then he has a characteristic of hypocrisy until he leaves it. He said, men إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ. It is the person who, when he speaks, he lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. And when he makes a promise to do something, he breaks the promise. وَإِذَا خَاسَمَ فَجَرَ. And when he argues, quarrels, or disputes with someone, then he, يعني, inclines away from the truth and supports falsehood and lies to prove his point, to win the argument. وَإِذَا أَعْحَدَ غَدَرَ. And when he makes a covenant, an agreement, then he acts treacherously. He betrays the agreement. He breaks the agreement. He violates it. خَرَّجَهُ الْبُخَارِي وَمُسْلِمُ. Yani this hadith was collected by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah and Al-Imam Muslim rahimahullah. So, yani before we go into the explanation, these are four characteristics or qualities that every individual, every Muslim, has to be concerned about, has to examine oneself carefully, to be careful, yani, that we avoid being described with such characteristics or descriptions. As we did last week, we're going to look at the explanation of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad He has divided his explanation into only 3 points. The first point is the introductory comments of the hadith. And the second point is lengthy, in which he goes through these four characteristics. He puts them under 1 point, and then the last point are the benefits derived from the hadith. So as we go through the four characteristics of hypocrisy, I'm going to look at the explanation of both Shaykh Abdul Muhsin and Shaykh Abdul Rahman Daesh, together, one by one, at each of those characteristics. As far as the introductory comments of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, he says, his statement, أَرْبَعٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ كَانَ مُنَافِقًا, yani, there are four characteristics or qualities, whoever possessed them, then he is a munafiq. And if he has one of those qualities or characteristics, then he has a characteristic of hypocrisy until he leaves it, until he abandons it, until he stops doing that thing. The Shaykh says, المعنى أن من وجدت فيه هذه الخصال الأربعة فهو موصوف بالنفاق العملي. Yani, the meaning of this statement is that whoever finds within himself these four characteristics or qualities, then he is described with النفاق العملي. Yani, hypocrisy in actions. And he has the actions that are the actions of a hypocrite. وَمَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ وَاحِدٌ مِنْهَا كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَصْلَةٌ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ حَتَّى يَضَعَ هَذِهِ الْخَصْلَةِ. And whoever has even one of these characteristics or qualities, then he has a characteristic or quality of hypocrisy until he leaves it off, until he stops doing it, until he abandons that. Then the Shaykh goes to another point. This is still part of the first point, but now he goes to a second part of the introduction to this hadith, and he says, وَهَذَا مِنْ كَمَالِ بَيَّانِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَيْثُ يَذْكُرُ الْعَدَدْ أَوَّلًا ثُمَّ يَأْتِي بِالتَّفْصِيلِ الْمَعْدُودِ. That the Prophet ﷺ, this is, yani, this shows the perfection of his, yani, clarification, his way of clarifying the matter that he wants to present, in that he mentions the number of the things that he's talking about. He mentions the number first, and then after he mentions that number, he brings the details about the things that are numbered, that are being counted here. He mentions the number four, and then he mentions after that the details about those four things. The Shaykh says, لِمَا فِي ذَلِكَ مِنْ حَفْزِ السَّامِعِ إِلَى الْإِسْتِعْدَادِ وَتَحَيُّ لِوَعْيِ مَا سَيُلْقَى عَلَيْهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْخِصَالِ. And this is so that the listener, the one who hears this, yani, that there are four things. When he hears that there are four things, this is to prepare him, to make him ready, to be attentive, to receive what is going to be conveyed to him of these characteristics or qualities. Now he's waiting for four things. So he's already knows that it's going to be four, and now he's waiting to count what are these four things. He says, وَلِيُطَالِبْ نَفْسَهُ بِالْمَعْدُودِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يُطَابِقْ عَلِمَ أَنَّ فَاتَهُ شَيْءٌ. So this is so that the person will be requiring their own self to look for these four things, to be looking for these four things, to expect these four things. And if it doesn't match up, yani, in the end, that he has four matters, then he knows that he has missed something. So by him saying that there are four things, the person is waiting for four things, and now he's counting those things as they come. And if in the end he doesn't find four, that means he has somehow missed something. And I remember one of the brothers who was a student of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. He told us how the Shaykh used to always break things down into numbers. And whenever he was explaining something, he'd always say there are four of this and four of that, or six of these and seven of those. And so this was the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, breaking things down so a person knows up front in the beginning what to look for, and then they try to make sure that they catch every one of them. And if they missed one, and they know there are four or five or six or seven, then they know they have missed something. So the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, mashallah, took his manhaj and teaching from, yani, from his Shaykh, but more, first and foremost from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the introduction, yani, of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad. And the Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Salih al-Dahish, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, has a more lengthy, yani, introduction containing 3 points in the introduction before we go into the main body of the hadith. I'm going to try to summarize his introductory remarks because they're a little bit lengthy. And he says, yani, in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned the characteristics or qualities of hypocrisy. And these qualities, they are the qualities of an-nifaq al-amali. And he's making clear that what we're talking about here is what type of hypocrisy? Hypocrisy in actions. Not hypocrisy of the heart. Yani the aqidah that a person has in their heart of kufr, that they don't really believe. Even though outwardly they're professing Islam and Iman. So he's making clear that these qualities that we're talking about here in this hadith are the qualities of hypocrisy in actions. As far as amma an-nifaq al-akhir, the other type of hypocrisy, فَإِنَّ أَمْرَهُ أَعْظَمُ. Yani the other type of hypocrisy, the affair of this type of hypocrisy is far greater. Is greater in magnitude. Because what? Because the other type of hypocrisy, he says, فَإِنَّهُ إِظْهَارَ الْإِيمَانِ وَإِبْطَانَ الْكُفْرَ. Because this is the case, the other type of hypocrisy that people generally think of when they hear about hypocrisy, it is that a person openly shows Iman, but inwardly they are covering, hiding kufr. This person is a kafir. That's not the hypocrisy we're talking about in this hadith. He says that if a person wanted to, they could call it an-nifaq dun an-nifaq, like kufr dun kufr, yani a type of hypocrisy that's less than the hypocrisy that takes a person out of Islam. And he said, based on this explanation and this clarification, it becomes clear to us that this type of hypocrisy, yani, is divisible. It can be broken down into parts. Yani, whereas a person may have an aspect of it and not have all of it. Yani, it's possible, he says, فَقَدْ يَكُونُ هُنَاكَ مُسْلِمٌ وَعِنْدَهُ شَيْءٌ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ. Yani, it's possible that a person can actually be a Muslim and have some characteristic of hypocrisy. Just like it's possible that a person can be a kafir and have some characters of Iman, of Islam. And a person might be truthful, they might be honest, or whatever. But that doesn't take them out of kufr. And likewise, the Muslim who has a character of hypocrisy, doesn't mean that that takes him out of Islam. Doesn't mean that it takes him out of Islam. But what type of hypocrisy are we talking about here? He said, النفاق العملي, the hypocrisy in actions. وَأَمَّا النِّفَاقَ الْإِعْتِقَادِ فَلَا. As far as the النفاق الْإِعْتِقَادِ, the hypocrisy of the heart, of the aqidah, that a person is really a disbeliever, no, this is not yani divisible. Person is a hypocrite, yani kufr in their heart, they are hypocrite, khalas. Yani as far as the nifaq al-amali, in deeds and actions, a person may have some aspects of their hypocrisy and not all of them. So it's divisible. That's the point that the Shaykh is making. The second point of his introductory remarks, he says, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, arba'un man kunna fi, yani there are four characteristics, whoever possessed them, yani then he is a hypocrite. He said the saying of the Prophet, arba'un, yani four, this does not contradict what came in another narration in which the Prophet said three. In which the Prophet said three. لِأَنَّ هَذَا يُسَمُّونَهُ مَفْهُومَ عَدَدٍ وَمَفْهُومَ الْعَدَدِ لَا اعْتِبَارَ لَهُ أَوْ بَعْدُهُمْ يَقُولُونَ الْعَدَدِ الْعَدَدِ لَا مَفْهُومَ لَهُ. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد يحدث أصحابه بثلاثة علامات في مجلس and in another مجلس أربعة in another مجلس خمسة and so on. ولذا لو جمعت علامات النفاق الواردة في الأحاديث ربما تبلغها إلى ثلاثين أو أكثر. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخبر في كل مقام بما يناسب الحال. يعني basically the Shaykh is saying here that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying here four. He said this is what some of the scholars called mafhum adad. And he said la atibar lahu. That means that this number four is not yani la mafhum lahu. It doesn't mean that if he said four it can't be three. It doesn't mean that. Like normally if you say I have $4, that means what you understand from that? You don't have three, you have four. Or you might have more, but you definitely have four. So here that's not the meaning. It's not intended when the Prophet said four that he means they are four and they are only four and they are no more, they are no less. Rather, in other situations he said there are three characteristics of hypocrisy. And in other situations he mentioned different qualities or characteristics to the extent the Shaykh said if you were to collect all those narrations in different hadith, how the Prophet described hypocrisy, different characteristics of it, he said you might reach 30 or more qualities or characteristics of hypocrisy. Because the Prophet ﷺ used to speak to the people with that which was suitable or appropriate for the sitting. Yani for that setting, for that situation. The final point that the Shaykh makes, he says, وَإِنْ كَانَتْ قَصْلَةٌ مِنْهُنَّ فِيهِ كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَصْلَةٌ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ حَتَّى يَضَعَهَا. Yani that if a person has one of those characteristics or qualities of hypocrisy, then he has a characteristic of hypocrisy until he leaves it. Here the Shaykh says in this statement, there are 2 points. The first, he said, that just as I said previously, yani that this statement, that even if he has one characteristic or quality, this shows us that nifaq, yani amali, nifaq in actions, yani is divisible. A person can have one or two or three or four, more or less, of the characteristics of hypocrisy. And also in his statement, hatta yadaha, yani that he has at least those characteristics that he is described with, yani one or more of them, until he leaves it, fi dalil ala mas'ala muhimma wa hiya anna al-munafiq lahu tawbah. Yani that here there's an important issue that's indicated in this statement of the Prophet, that a person is going to be described with that characteristic until he abandons it, until he leaves it. And this indicates that a person who has characteristics of hypocrisy, that it's possible for that person to repent. Yani that the person who has these qualities can repent from it. There is repentance. وَفِيهِ أَنَّ التَّوْبَةَ مِنَ الْمَعَصِيَةَ الْمُعَيِّنَةَ تَكُونُ بِتَرْكِهَا. And that also, in this is an indication that the tawbah from a particular sin, that tawbah is by abandoning that thing. A person makes tawbah from it by stopping doing it. And is that a person that the first step of tawbah is what? A person has to stop doing it. They have to feel bad about what they did. They have to make resolve not to go back to it again, and so on. So here the Shaykh is saying that there's tawbah for this, from these actions, and that tawbah from a particular specific sin is by abandoning it. As far as the tawbah al-amma, and then there's general tawbah, which is by abandoning sins generally. Yani a person says, I'm repenting to Allah, I've been doing whatever, sinful stuff, behavior. A Muslim who's been out in the street doing whatever they're doing, and they say, I'm turning back to Allah, I'm repenting to Allah. And by abandoning generally all of those sinful acts and behaviors, that's tawbah amma, and it is fulfilled by a person generally abandoning sin. So abandoning, yani sin, can be abandoning some specific sins, or it can be abandoning sins in general. Those are the introductory remarks of Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Dahish, hafidhullah. And now we're going to look at yani each of the points of this hadith, 4 points. So Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says, al-khasalatu al-ula, yani the first characteristic or quality of nifaq, yani when a person speaks, he lies. When he speaks, he lies. وَإِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ. He defines al-kadhib, yani he says this first characteristic is that a person lies when they speak. When they speak, al-kadhibu fil hadith. وَذَلِكَ أَن يُحَدِّثَ غَيْرَهُ بِحَدِيثٍ هُوَ كَاذِبٌ فِيهِ فَيُخْبِرَ بِشَيْءٍ عَلَى غَيْرِ حَقِيقَتِهِ. Yani this lying when a person speaks, it is that when a person speaks to someone, he doesn't tell the truth. He lies in what he's saying. So he informs the person about something that is not its reality. And he says something that is not the reality. It's not the truth. He makes it up as he goes along. وَفِي ذَلِكَ إِسَاءَةُ صَاحِبْ الْحَدِيثِ إِلَى نَفْسِهِ. And this contains a harm to the person himself who's telling the lie. And he harms his own self. لِتْتِصَافِهِ بِهَذَا الْخُلُقِ الذَّمِيمِ. Yani, and that is because he now becomes described with this, yani, blameworthy quality or characteristic of lying. And he also causes harm to the person that he's speaking to by deceiving that person, by suggesting to them that he is truthful in his speech with them when he knows that he is lying. Yani he harms himself by causing himself to be described as a liar. And he harms the other person by deceiving them, making them believe that he's actually telling the truth when he knows that he is lying. The Shaykh here mentions a hadith that's reported by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عليكم بالصدق فإن الصدق يهدي إلى البر وإن البر يهدي إلى الجنة وما يزال رجل يتصدق ويتحرر الصدق حتى يكتب عند الله صديقا. Yani this hadith is a tremendous hadith, and it requires some time of its own to explain it, but in brief, And the meaning of this statement is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, it is incumbent upon you to be truthful. Because indeed, being truthful leads to righteousness. And righteousness leads to the Jannah. Be truthful, why? Because truthful, being truthful leads a person to righteousness. And righteousness leads a person to the paradise. Yani, that is something that we have to sit and think about for a moment. Yani, this is what leads a person to paradise. And a person continues to be truthful and to make an effort to seek out being truthful until he is written with Allah as a person who is very truthful. And a person continues to tell the truth until he will be recorded. He will be recognized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being from those who are very truthful. And the opposite is also true. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْكَذِبْ فَإِنَّ الْكَذِبْ يَحْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورِ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَمَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَكْذِبُ وَيَتَحَرَّى الْكَذِبْ حَتَّى يُكْتَبْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. Hadith reported by Imam Muslim. Yani, and I warn you, be warned, beware from lying, because lying leads to fujur, to evil and corruption, and this leads to the hellfire. And a person will continue to lie and make an effort, seek out intentionally to lie until he lies so much in that he will be recorded with Allah as a kadhab, not just a liar, but a person who lies a lot, kathratul kadhib, person who lies a lot. This hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim. This is the first characteristics of qualities of hypocrisy, that when a person speaks, they lie. So every person, every Muslim, has to look at themselves and be careful that we don't tell what a person might describe as a big lie or a little lie, or a major one or a minor one. It's all a lie and Allah is not pleased with it. Here the Shaykh says, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Dahish, he says there's an exception to this. He said this statement, in his explanation of the first point, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that from the characteristics of hypocrisy that when a person speaks, he lies. He informs people about something and he lies to them. And he said this is general. It may be, he might be talking about himself or he might be talking about other than himself. Even a person is talking about themselves and they're lying, it's a lie. Not just lying about somebody else, but it's all lying and all of it has to be avoided. Yani, all of that comes under this, what the statement of the Prophet in this hadith. وَلَكِنْ يُسْتَثْنَى مِنَ الْكَذِبِ الَّذِي جَعَلَهُ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم مِنْ عَلَامَةِ النِّفَاقِ يُسْتَثْنَى الْكَذِبَ الَّذِي رَخَّصَ فِيهِ وَهُوَ الْكَذِبِ فِي الْمَوَاطِنِ الثَّلَاثَةِ. And he said, an exception to this lying, which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم described as a characteristic of hypocrisy, an exception to it is the lying which has been allowed in the Sharia, and that is in three specific places. And then he mentions those places in some detail, and again I'm just going to summarize what he said, because it's quite lengthy. But in any case, the first of them is that a man lies to his wife. And then the Shaykh says, and that a woman lies to her husband. And that a woman lies to her husband. He said, pay attention here, because some people think that it's permissible for a man to lie to his wife, but it's not permissible for her to lie to him. And the hadith, it's all contained in this hadith. I'm explaining what the Shaykh says here, by what he means in Allahu A'lam, is that he means the mantuq and the mafhum is one hadith. What's mantuq in this hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ said clearly that a man is permissible for the lie to his wife. For a maslah, for some benefit, to improve the relationship, to make things get better. So, if a woman lies to her husband for the same reason, to improve the relationship, then wouldn't that also be the same? It's permissible, because it's the same reason, the same purpose, the same objective. So the Shaykh is clarifying for us here, don't just take the hadith on its obvious meaning, what the actual words of the Prophet, the mantuq, but also the mafhum from this hadith. What is understood from this hadith is that it's allowed for a maslaha, for a benefit, for a greater benefit. And that benefit may be achieved by a woman telling her husband that you are so good, I love you so much. Yani, to make him feel better so that they can improve their relationship. The same way that a man tells his second wife that I love you more than my first wife. Yani, just to make her happy and keep things under control. The Sheikh says, this is the first point that he makes, that it's permissible both ways, and that's because there is a yani preponderant benefit, and maslaha rajiha, yani from allowing such a thing. He said sometimes the marriage life will not be successful without this. Yani for some people, it might be necessary from one side or for the other to say something that is not exactly totally clearly the truth, but in order to improve, to reconcile, to fix relations between them. In any case, the Sheikh said that a person should not engage in this, go overboard with it. Yani, take this permission and just run for a touchdown with it. Rather, yani, a person must be careful that they don't lie when there's a need to do so, to reconcile, and they also lie when there's no need to do so. Because what happens then, yani, he said, this is like, yani, this is like an ilaj, a cure, yani, a medicine that a person uses for sickness, yani, you use it for need. Yani, when you get well, you don't keep using the medicine, right? So he said, this is something that should be used when there's a need for it. Rather, if it becomes customary and common practice that a person lies to their family all the time, then in the future, yani, whatever they say will not be accepted. Because they have, yani, gone too far with it. And therefore, he said, the permission for a man to lie to his wife, or a woman to lie to her husband, yani, should be restricted. Yani, that it should be used when there's a need. The third point that the Shaykh makes, and the third place, I'm sorry, the second place when lying is allowed is for sulh, yani to make reconciliation between two, yani, people who have fallen out and they have some problems, some disputes or whatever, and now there's enmity and hatred between them. It's possible to lie to one of them or to both of them in a way that will make them think well about each other and try to reconcile between them. The Shaykh says that from those situations in which it's permissible to lie is for reconciliation, where so and so, where two people, yani, are quarreling with one another for years, and you say to one of them, I was sitting with so and so and he mentioned you in a good way and he praised you and he said good things about you, even though none of that is really true, but the point is what? Yani, the intent is to make reconciliation between those brothers. He said the wise person though should be careful. They shouldn't say to a person such a thing if they know that he's going to follow up on the issue, that he's going to go and question and find out, did that really happen? Did that person really say that? He said this should not be done. In that case, if you know the person is going to check it and verify it and investigate, then you shouldn't do such. You shouldn't do such. Because, yani, in that case, the person would then, yani, consider you to be a liar. Rather, if you know that the person would just accept without investigating what you have said, and they would believe that what you're saying, and that this might help to reconcile between them, this is how it should be used. In any case, the Shaykh said we should be careful, yani, from lying. Yani, even in the situation where it's permissible, we should be careful that, yani, we bring about a benefit and not, yani, harm. The third situation, he said, is in war. That it's permissible for a person to lie if they're at war and they tell the person that is the enemy that they're going north, and they're really going south, so that the person would not know what is the intent and what they're planning to do and wouldn't be able to prepare for them. So this is, yani, part of the deception in times of war. He said all of these three things are permissible, permitted by the Sharia, that is, yani, in marriage and in reconciling between disputing parties and in war. But these things should be used according to need. Otherwise, it may lead to the opposite of what is intended. Yani, instead of being beneficial, it will be harmful. The second point, or the second quality of hypocrisy, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Rabat, Hafidhullah, he says, is ikhlaf al-wa'ad. Yani, that a person breaks their promise. Yani, as the Prophet ﷺ said, from the characteristics of the hypocrite, وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. Yani, when he makes a promise, he doesn't keep it. He breaks his promise. He said, إخلاف الوعد ذلك بأن يعد عدة وفي نيته أن لا يفي بها. Yani, that a person makes a promise, but his niyyah, his intent at the time he's making that promise, is not to fulfill it. And he never intended to fulfill it. He's making a promise and his heart, he doesn't intend to fulfill. This is what is intended in this hadith of a person when they make a promise, they break it, meaning they intend not to keep the promise from the very beginning. They never intended to fulfill that promise. أما إذا وعد وهو عازم على وفاء بالوعد ف فطرى له ما يمنعه من الوفاء فهو معذور. As far as the person who makes a promise and he has firm resolve to fulfill that promise, he intends to fulfill that promise, but something unexpectedly suddenly comes upon him that prevents him fulfilling the promise, then that person is ma'adhur. That person is excused. So here the Shaykh is making a difference between what? The person who makes a promise and breaks it. Yani the person who makes a promise intending not to keep that promise is different than the person who makes a promise and intends to keep the promise, but something happens unexpectedly, suddenly, out of his control or her control, and for that reason the person is unable to keep the promise. That person is excused. Here the Shaykh mentions the hadith. This report of Abu Dawud, hadith number 4991, and Shaykh al-Albani in al-Sahih has said that it's Sahih, and this hadith is the hadith, and this hadith is related to promising, and it's also connected to lying. Yani in that, a person when they make a promise, if they intend not to keep it, they're also lying. But here it comes under the title, the Shaykh is bringing this hadith under the title of yani making a promise, and what is the intent, to keep it or not to keep it. The hadith says, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, he said, my mother called me one day and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in our house, yani present, witnessing what was happening. And she called me. She said, come, ta'al, u'tika, I'm going to give you something. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, وَمَا أَرَدْتِ أَن تُعْتِيَهُ, and what is it that you intended to give him? Yani, you know, because people do this with children, right? Come here, I got something for you, and really they just want to get a hold of them, so they can do whatever they want to do with them. Play with them, or spank them, or whatever, right? So he said, so what is it that you intended to give him? She said, Urati Tamran, I intended to give him, I'm going to give him a date. So the Prophet ﷺ said to her, Ama innaki law lam tu'atihi shay'an kutibat alayka al-kithba. Yani, know that if indeed you didn't give him something after promising to give him something, then a lie will be written against you. And because you have lied, because you promised something and you didn't intend even from the beginning to give it. And this is very common with grown people and children, that they make promises to them that they don't intend from the very beginning to keep. It's not only breaking promises, which is a characteristic of the characteristics of hypocrisy, but it's also lying. And it also, and the Shaykh doesn't mention it here, but his son mentioned in his explanation of this book, it's also yani a very harmful yani thing to teach the children, because they learn from this, that all the time I was a child, they were always promising me something and they were lying and they wasn't keeping their promise. So they learn how to do that from the grown people, and this is, children learn from us, and that's why a Muslim has to be conscious of their own behavior, because they have children, they have young people, they have family members, they have whoever that's looking at them and not giving as much attention to what you're telling them to do, but giving more attention to what you yourself are doing. And you tell them don't do this, but you do it all the time. You tell them don't act like that, but you act like that. So here in this hadith, we're learning from the Prophet ﷺ that we have to be careful, even with children, making them promises, lying to them, and especially because this kind of behavior yani affects a child's upbringing and their rearing. As far as the second point, Shaykh Abdul Rahman, he says, yani إِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ, yani that from the qualities of hypocrisy is that a person when they promise, they break the promise. He said, a person promises somebody to come, or they promise somebody to give them something, and then they don't come, and they don't give them. This is from the signs, the characteristics or qualities of hypocrisy. He said, this hadith also indicates a side point, yani the Shaykh is making here, this hadith indicates the obligation of fulfilling the promise, as opposed to the opinion of كثيرٌ من الفقهاء, who said that keeping the promise is sunnah muakkada. Rather, the apparent meaning of this hadith is that it's wajib, especially if it would result in some harm or some evil ending, yani breaking the promise. If it would bring about some harm, then it becomes clear, certainly, that is haram. Yani to make a promise and not to keep it. And then he says, as far as the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, yani if you make a promise, you keep it. He said, does this also include small children? Yani making promises to them, is it okay to make promises to them and don't keep it? He said, this includes small children. Rather, he said, it might be even more severe that you promise them, yani, and lie to them and don't keep your promise. So he said, yani, the promise is obligatory that it be fulfilled, whether it's with the young person or with the older person. The third characteristic of the characteristics of hypocrisy, as mentioned by Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said, yani, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, وَإِذَا خَاسَمَ فَجَرَ, yani that when he argues or quarrels or disputes with somebody, then he acts in a way that is yani not befitting of a Muslim. He says, yani fajara. The third characteristic, al-fujur fil-khusuma, that a person practices al-fujur when they have a dispute or argument. Wal-ma'na an yakuna al-insan inda al-khusuma ma ghayrihi yaghdab fayatajawazu al-adl ila al-dhulm. So the meaning of al-fujur, as the Shaykh is explaining here, and there are several meanings that he mentions here, this is the definition that he gives. So the scholars have explained al-fujur and khusuma, yani each of them a little bit differently, but in any case the Shaykh says here that the meaning of this statement from the Prophet ﷺ, that when a person disputes or argues or quarrels with somebody, that they act in a way, he says here, that when they argue with somebody, they become angry. And as a result of their anger, they went outside of that which is just and fair, and they fell into dhulm, yani oppressing, yani wrongdoing, of wrongdoing to somebody. Yani they became angry, and as a result of that, they were no longer just, they were no longer fair, but rather now they were unjust to the other party that they are disputing with. Here, for this meaning, the Shaykh mentions, yani the meaning that when a person became angry, that they go outside of that which is just and they do that which is unjust. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 8th Ayat, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, he said, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. And he, don't let hatred or enmity for people cause you to not be just. And he, don't let it to cause you, أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا, that you are not just. Yani because a person became angry and they hate somebody because they're upset with them, then they are not just. This is yani the meaning that the Shaykh is deriving for al-fujur fil-khusuma, that a person became angry, so now they're unjust to the person that they are disputing with. He also mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 2nd Ayah, the saying of Allah, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَن صَدُّوكُمْ عَلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَن تَعْتَدُوا. Yani don't let hatred of a people, yani specifically because those people blocked you from entering the sacred masjid, meaning the pagans of Mecca who stopped the Muslims from entering the sacred masjid. He said, don't let your hatred of a people because of what they have done, which was wrong, don't let that cause you to transgress the limits, to go beyond the bounds, yani to fall into injustice and dhulm. But rather, yani a person must be just. So here, yani from the meanings of al-fujur fil-khusuma, is that a person is unjust. Yani in their arguing, they became angry, and as a result of that, they became unjust. They are unfair. Yani they are not going to be truthful. They're going to be unjust. Then the Shaykh mentions two other definitions. The first definition, the brief definition, which is yani somewhat easier to follow and to understand, قال الحافظ في الفتح, يعني حافظ ابن حجر الأسقلاني, says in Fath al-Bari, explanation of Bukhari, يعني the first and first volume, page 90, والفجور الميل عن الحق والاحتيال في رده. يعني الفجور, يعني this act, when a person is arguing and disputing, it is that a person deviates from the truth. Yani they turn away from the truth. They're having an argument. Instead of supporting yani their position with truth, now they're going to support their position their view by going away from the truth. يعني الميل عن الحق والاحتيال في رده, and using deception and tricks in order to يعني refute, to reject the truth. يعني a person turns away from the truth and then they use deception in order to refute, to reject, to يعني go against that which they know is true. And this is يعني relatively easy to understand, يعني that a person is in a dispute and they really don't have anything to support what they are upon, so they abandon that which they know to be true, and then they use deception and trickery or whatever means that they have in order to reject the truth and to support falsehood. The Shaykh then mentions another definition mentioned by Ibn Rajab, Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah in Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam. He says, فَإِذَا كَانَ الرَّجُلْ ذَا قُدْرَةٍ عِنْدَ الْخُسُومَةِ سَوَاءً كَانَتْ خُسُومَتُهُ فِي الدِّينِ أَوْ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Yani either, if there is a person who has the ability at the time in the situation of arguing and disputing, whether it's a dispute about religious matters or about worldly matters, the person who has an ability to argue well, he has the ability, عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْتَصِرَ لِلْبَاطِلِ وَيَتَخَيَّلْ لِلسَّامِي أَنَّهُ حَقٍ. Yani he has the ability, yani because of his speech ability or whatever, yani ability to argue, he has the ability to support falsehood and to make the person who is listening to him believe, imagine that falsehood is the truth. وَيُوْحِنُ الْحَقِّ وَيُخْرِجُهُ فِي سُرَةِ الْبَاطِلِ. And he has the ability to weaken the truth and bring it forth in a form or in an image of as though it is falsehood. And he is a person who has the ability to argue and dispute. And there are some people who are good at arguing and disputing. They know how to use any different means of argumentation to overcome people. He said the person who has this ability, when he is arguing, to support falsehood and make the person think who's listening to him that is the truth, and to weaken the truth and bring it forth in an image or in a form as though it is falsehood, he said, كان ذلك من أقبح المحرمات ومن أخبث خصال النفاق. He said, this is the most ugly of things that are haram, and it is the most evil of the characteristics of hypocrisy. So here from Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, his definition concerning يعني الفجور في الخصومة, يعني it is as though he's saying that a person, when they argue, they have the ability to make falsehood seem like true and truth to be falsehood. And they use that ability to present falsehood as being true and truth as being falsehood. And this is yani probably the most yani the evilest aspect of al-fujur fil khusumat, that a person makes truth seem to be falsehood and falsehood to be truth. And this is, in worldly things is bad enough, in the deen it's even worse. And we find that there are people who are upon falsehood and they have the ability to argue, and they make yani the falsehood they're upon seem to be true and the truth to be falsehood. Allahu musta'an. Also, Shaykh Abd al-Rahman, in his explanation of this particular matter, the third characteristic of the qualities of hypocrisy, وَإِذَا خَاسَمَ فَجْرَ, here he explains it a little bit differently. He says, هَذَا نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ. He said, we seek and we ask Allah to protect us from this. Yani from this characteristic of when a person is disputing, that they act like this. He said it is, that when a person disputes with somebody, فَإِنَّهُ يَفْجُرُ فِيهَا يَعْنِي يَتَطَاوَلُ فِيهَا وَيَزِيدُ. Yani when a person is disputing with somebody, then al-fujur here, he said, it means that the person becomes arrogant and insolent. Yani they project themselves as being better than the other person and beating them down and going yani above and beyond yani what's necessary in order to win the argument. So he said, even a person is arguing with somebody over some rialat, yani some rials, some dollars, few pennies. He said, يَأَتِي بِكُلِّ سِبَابِ وَبِكُلِّ فُجُورِ وَبِكُلِّ قَدِيمِ وَحَدِيثِ هَذَا فُجُورِ وَهَذَا لَيْسَ مِنْ صِفَةِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. He said that a person is arguing with somebody over a few dollars, yani some rials, And he comes in his argument with every yani expression of abuse, abusing the person he's arguing with, and every foul language, and everything old and new, yani things that are not even related to the discussion. He just brings up everything that he can bring up, and he's abusive, and he's foul in his language, in his arguing with the person. This is how Shaykh Abdul Rahman describes the fujur in al-khusumat, that a person yani goes to the extreme in arguing and disputing and abusing and reviling the person that they are arguing with. He said this is not from the characteristics of the believer. The believer is allowed to seek his right and to argue with that which is best. However, this kind of action is not acceptable for the believer. He said to the extent that if you were to see this person when they are arguing, you would say, Subhanallah, what is he actually disputing over? And he's going to such extreme in his abuse of the person that he's arguing with. He said, you begin to wonder, like, what is he actually arguing about? Has somebody killed his father? He said, and then when you come to find out what he's arguing about is something yani completely insignificant, something of no importance at all. But just because he's arguing, so he acts like this. He abuses the person that he's arguing with. He said, this is the meaning of al-fujur fil-khusumat, that a person yani becomes arrogant and insolent and abusive, and they go above and beyond yani with every means that they can to make their point and to refute the other person. The last characteristic of the qualities of hypocrisy, al-khasla al-rabia, al-ghadru fil-ahdi, yani that a person, when he makes a covenant, he makes an agreement, he acts treacherously, yani he betrays it, he double crosses the person, he doesn't keep the agreement. He doesn't keep the agreement. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْفُوا بِالْأَهْدِ إِنَّ الْأَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا. Yani this is in Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 34th Ayat, where Allah commands us to fulfill the covenants that you make. Indeed, the covenant is that which you will be questioned about. And you make an agreement, you have to keep it, you will be questioned about it. And he also mentions from Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah, 91st Ayat, وَأَوْفُوا بِأَهْدِ اللَّهِ إِذَا أَحَدْتُمْ وَلَا تَنْقُضُوا الْأَيْمَانَ بَعْدَ تَوْقِيدِهَا وَقَدْ جَعَلْتُمُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ كَفِيلًا. Yani he said, fulfill the covenants of Allah when you have made them, and don't break, don't undo the oaths. Yarhamukallah. Don't undo, don't break, the violate the oaths that you have made after you have confirmed them. And indeed you have made Allah as a kafil over it, and you have made him as a security, as a witness to yani the covenant that you have made. So keep those covenants, it's obligatory to do so. And the Shaykh says, قال ابن رجب في جامع العلوم الحكم, Ibn Rajab says, وَالْغَدْرُ حَرَامٌ فِي كُلِّ أَحْدٍ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِ وَغَيْرِهِ. Yani that, yani being treacherous, yani breaking the covenant, the agreement, violating the agreement, is haram in every agreement that a Muslim makes with anyone else. In every agreement that a Muslim makes with another person. وَلَوْ كَانَ الْمُعَاهَدَ كَافِرٌ. Even if the person that he made the covenant, the agreement with, even if that person is a kafir. وَلِهَذَا فِي الْحَدِيثِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ عَمْرٍ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And for this reason, it came in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr رضي الله عنه from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said, مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا مُؤَاهَدًا بِغَيْرِ حَقِّهَا لَمْ يَرَهْ رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ وَإِنَّ رِيحَهَا لَيُجَدُ مِنْ مَصِيرَةِ أَرْبَعِينَ عَامًا. He said that whoever kills a person, a mu'ahad, yani the person who has made a covenant of safety and security with the Muslims, and then the person kills that person without any right to do so, yani unjustly, that person will not smell the scent of Jannah. And indeed, the scent of Jannah can be found at a distance of 40 years. Yani the severity of violating the covenant, the agreement, even with a kafir. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari, and then the Shaykh says, and in closing this point, he says, Allah indeed, Allah the Most High in His book, has commanded us to fulfill agreements with the mushrikeen as long as they kept up the agreements and they didn't break them. As far as the agreements, the covenants, the contracts with Muslims amongst themselves, then keeping those agreements is even more so obligatory, and violating them is a greater sin. And from the greatest of the violations of covenants is the covenant that one makes to the Imam when he gives allegiance to him and he's pleased with him. Breaking that agreement, violating that agreement, is from the worst of what a person can do. And then he mentions the hadith that's in Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Hurairah, that the Prophet ﷺ said, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ, that there are three people whom on Yawm al-Qiyamah Allah would not speak to them, and He would not purify them, and for them is a terrible punishment. And he mentioned from amongst those is a man who gives the oath of allegiance to an imam, but he gives that oath of allegiance for some worldly benefit. So if the imam gives him what he wants, then he keeps the covenant, the agreement, the oath of allegiance that he made to that imam. And if the imam doesn't give him the worldly thing that he was looking for, then he doesn't fulfill the allegiance that he has given to that imam. He said, also included in this keeping of the covenants, that which is obligatory to keep and it's haram to violate, he said, is all contracts that Muslims make in which they make a contract with about that which they are in agreement with, that they are pleased with, that they voluntarily agree to, whether it's from financial transactions or marriage relations or other than that. Whenever we make a contract that's binding upon us, it's obligatory to fulfill it. He said even also additionally, it is obligatory to fulfill the contracts that we make with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the abd makes to his Rabb, like for example the pledge or the vow that a person makes to do some good deed or to give some charity and what is similar to that, and more so and greatly more important than that is the covenant that we make when we enter Islam, and the covenant that we make every day in the Al-Fatiha, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, that these are contracts and agreements that we make with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship Him alone and to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is obligatory upon us to keep it. As far as the last point, Sheikh Abdul Rahman Adahish, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. On this last point he says, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when he makes a covenant, he betrays it. He acts treacherously. He said he gives somebody a covenant, an agreement, and then he breaks the agreement. He breaks the agreement. يَنْقُضُ الْأَهْدِ, he breaks the agreement. He said when a person makes an agreement, whether, and this includes specific agreements, even though this statement is general, it includes specific agreements that are particular to a person, in their buying and selling or their renting and other transactions, and it also includes general covenants or agreements like the agreement or the covenant that, or allegiance that a person makes to the leader of the Muslims, to obey them in the lesser things and the greater things. This statement in this hadith is general, includes those things that are specific to you individually in your individual personal transactions and dealings, and it's also and it also includes the general covenants that we make to the leaders of the Muslims and so on. It is incumbent and obligatory to keep them. And then he says, as a sub point, does this also include the covenants or contracts that we make with the kafirs? He says, yes, indeed. As long as that kafir is not a person that's at war with us, then it is obligatory to keep the agreements that we make with them. For example, if a person purchases a car from a kafir, and that the contract that they make requires them to pay a certain price for it, then it is necessary, it is obligatory to give that person that amount of money that has been contracted in that agreement. As far as those who take lightly these rights, and they say, well, this person is just a kafir, and this is common in the Muslim world and in the kafir countries, that many Muslims feel like he's just a kafir. This is not our religion, that we say he's just a kafir, we don't have to keep agreements. This is the religion of another people, who say that people who are not from their group, not from their religion, they're not really human beings, and we don't have to keep agreements with them, we don't have to fill contracts with them, we don't have to be truthful with them. That's another religion, that's not the religion of Islam. In Islam, it's obligatory for a person to keep their word, to be truthful and to keep agreements. He said, as for those people who take the matter lightly of these rights and they say, well, this person is just a kafir, then we say, even if he's a kafir, it's obligatory to fulfill the contract. Some of the people, they hire somebody, and then when it's time to pay, they put off, and they delay, and they take their time to pay them, and when somebody speaks to them about it, they say, hadha kafir, hadha budhi, hadha hindusi. And this is a kafir. He's a Buddhist. He's a Hindu. As though that makes a difference. The Shaykh says, and this is what he closes with here, he says, we say, if it is like that, and even if it's like that, even if that person is a kafir, even if they're Buddhist, even if they're Hindu, whatever, then you must give them their rights that you have agreed upon. And if you feel that, they're not entitled to be paid and they don't have rights, he said, then don't hire these people. Hire Muslims so that you can benefit the Muslims. We're going to close with the benefits from this hadith. Shaykh Abdul Muslim al-Abad, he mentions six benefits from this hadith. The last four of them are actually the four essential elements of this hadith, and the first two are points that are derived from the general meaning of the hadith. Point number one, the Shaykh says, أَنَّ مِنْ حُسْنِ التَّعْلِيمِ, from the excellence of a person's teaching, is ذِكْرَ الْمُعَلِّمِ الْعَدَدِ قَبْلَ التَّفْسِيرِ الْمَعْدُودِ لِيَكُونُ عَوْقَعَ فِي ذِئْنِ الْمُتَعَلِّمِ. He said, from the excellence of teaching is that the teacher mentions the number before he gives the full explanation of the things that we are counting, that we are numbering. That he gives the number first, and then he gives the explanation of those things, 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 or whatever. And this is so that after this, the student, the listener, has that number, it will have a greater impact on their mind, of the student, to retain that which, they are expecting to be explained to them. The second point, بيان خطورة الاجتماع الخسار أو خسار النفاق في شخص, the clarification of the great danger of these characteristics of hypocrisy all being collected together in a person. That a person has all of these characteristics. It's evil enough that a person has one of them. But a person that has all of them, this matter is severe, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever has these characteristics, all of them, كان munafiqan. Then he is a munafiq. And indeed, of course, we mean, these are qualities or characteristics of hypocrisy in actions. Okay, as far as the third point from this hadith is the first characteristic of hypocrisy, he said in this hadith is a warning, التحذير من الكذب في الحديث, warning against lying when a person speaks. For indeed, it is from the qualities or characteristics of hypocrisy. Number four, he says, التحذير من إخلاف الوعد, the warning against a person breaking their promise, for indeed is from the characteristics of hypocrisy. And the fifth, he said, التحذير من الفجور في الخصومة, في الخصومة, that the warning against this, فجور, when you have a dispute, that is going beyond the bounds, going to the extremes, being unjust and unfair and oppressive and abusive and insulting the person that you are arguing with just because you are quarreling with them. Point number six, التحذير من الغدر في الأحود وأنه من خصال النفاق, the warning against breaking, violating, being treacherous in reference to covenants, agreements or contracts that a Muslim makes with anyone, for indeed doing so is from the characteristics of hypocrisy. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. We'll stop here inshallah, and actually we've gone over time a little bit. I wasn't paying attention to the time tonight, but we're going to stop here, and if anybody has a correction, well, we'll take a correction. If there's a correction, we'll do that before we close. Yes. Naam. Tayyib. As far as questions or any other comments, inshallah, we'll save them for after we close out this session. Naam. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khayran.